Oh, what a wonderful time of worship, huh? Whew. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, today we're going to be continuing with Healing School. The module is called 40 Reasons for Affirming the Word, Part 1. Part 1. So we'll be looking at the first 20 reasons. Start with the overview. Affirming the Word of God over your life releases the power of God to bring about the desired change. Whatever challenge you face, or obstacle that you need to overcome, or a sin in your life that you need to conquer, use the Word of God coming out of your mouth to be victorious. Everything is subject to change when the word of God is proclaimed. And in Titus 3:8, we are admonished to affirm the word constantly. Affirmations are a wonderful blessing in that God has taught us how to speak the word of God over our lives. But remember that they are not a magic formula. It is an expression of our faith in what God has promised us, an expression of the faith that we have in God's word and what He has told us. Now, I want to remind you of a couple of things. I'm thinking of the module we had on the healing methods. Now remember, the healing methods, there were primary healing methods and there were secondary healing methods. And affirmations are part of the secondary healing methods. We don't want to confuse that, because if they're secondary, that means there was something that was primary. That's right. What a tendency of a lot of people to do is, as soon as a challenge comes, especially if it's an acute challenge, the first thing they start to do is to do affirmations. That shows me two things. One is it shows you that you don't understand the process. Number two, it shows me that you're probably doing it in fear rather than by faith. The process is, when a challenge comes, you should immediately confess your sins. CRRB. Confess, repent, renounce, and break. Then you do a primary healing method. Something, because remember, primary healing method is something to stake our faith on. Something that says, this is what I am believing for. This is what I'm resting my faith upon. So either you have somebody anoint you with oil, you call somebody and get in a prayer of agreement with them, you pray Mark 11, 24, the prayer of faith for yourself, or you take authority over it. I'm going down through the primary healing methods. Or if you're in a place where somebody can lay hands on you, that's one option, Mark 16, verse 17. Or you could, if you're in a service where people are being led by the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are operating, it could be through the gifts of the Spirit that you have a primary method in which then you stake your faith. And once you have your faith stuck, once you have proclaimed your faith in prayer or authority or whatever method that you choose, then you start the spiritual warfare aspect of it, which would include affirmations. So, one of the primary expressions of our faith in affirmations coming from our faith is giving thanksgiving. Reason number one, affirming your faith through thanksgiving. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So because we have prayed and we believe that we have received them, now this applies to every one of the primary methods. Once you have that place of faith, you believe at that point that you have received. And all you're doing is expecting the manifestation. But because you believe you received, it's by faith, and faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So now is the time to rejoice. Because it's done. It's done in the spiritual. So we rejoice. It's a thanksgiving time. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Why with thanksgiving? Because you're expecting the prayer to be answered. Because it has been answered already in the spiritual. You're expecting to see then the manifestation. So you do it with thanksgiving. Thank you that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you that you supply all my needs. It's done. Now's the time to rejoice. Pastor Joshua, when he was first affirming his healing based on Mark 11:24, started with thanksgiving because he believed that he had received when he prayed, saying, thank you, Jesus. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So it is a welling up of our faith in thanksgiving for what Jesus has done. Reason number two, it releases the anointing of God. Mark 16:17 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So when we speak the word of God, which is what's happening here, when we speak the word of God, the anointing of God is released into that situation. Remember, we can't heal a fly. It's the anointing of God coming out of our innermost being. It's the anointing of God, the power of God in us as we speak his word by faith, that then the power has an effect. Penny took authority over pain. I've seen her do this many times. And declared that she had been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and immediately the pain left. The anointing of God was released. Number three, the Holy Spirit confirms the speaking of the word. Going on in Mark 16, we looked at 17 and 18, look at verse 20. And they went forth, preaching everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now, in the King James, if you're looking at a King James Bible in this, you'll see that the word them is italicized. That's because it was added by the translators to help to make sense of what was being said. But what's really interesting in here, if you take it out and read it without the them, this is what you get. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. In other words, as they were ministering, as they were preaching, as they were teaching, as they were doing the things that Jesus had commanded them and commanded us to do, the signs, the Holy Spirit working with them, the signs followed, which means the anointing was released into their lives. An evangelist declared that back pain was being healed in a church service, and Chester felt the warmth of God on him, and all pain left. Now, at that particular time, Chester wasn't a believer. But that changed like that when he saw what God had done and felt the healing anointing of God. There was a nurse one time that was part of our congregation, and in the hospital in which she was working, there was an outbreak of scabies. And in this case, it was a pretty virulent form, and a lot of the staff members got this challenge of mites that burrow into the skin and cause a tremendous amount of itching and discomfort. And the hospital, of course, was offering the medication that would take care of this situation to all the employees. Unfortunately, that would take 4 to 6 weeks for them to process, for that medication to work to its completion. And the side effects on the medication were, you know, were horrendous. So anyway, this one nurse said, I'm not going to do that. So she affirmed, she came home, she was having symptoms. She affirmed 60 times that she had been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And all the symptoms went away. Well, she woke up the next morning, and all the symptoms were back. Now, she happened to have that day off, so she said, ain't staying, ain't happening. So she spent that day doing 6,000 affirmations that she had been healed by the stripes of Jesus. They never had another symptom, never came back again. See, the Word of God works. The anointing is released when we speak His Word. Number four, the anointing destroys the yoke. From Isaiah 10:27, and it came to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken off thy shoulder and his yoke off thy neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. The yokes in our life, the things that bind us, the things that constrict us, the things that are a heavy weight on our lives, whether it be sickness or finances or relationships that you're dealing with, or emotional challenges, whatever it might be, it's a yoke. The anointing destroys the yoke. So as we speak the Word of God, it destroys, obliterates the yoke in our lives. There was a young man who was addicted to smoking, and he kept speaking the Word, declaring that he had been set free from smoking. And one day, he thought, I think I'll have a smoke. And he pulled out his pack of cigarettes and looked at him. He said, what am I doing? I don't even want these things. All desire left, and he never smoked again because he was speaking God's Word, and the yoke in his life was broken. Number five, the anointing is released when the Word is spoken. From Luke 5:17, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he, talking about Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So as he was teaching, as Jesus was teaching, now remember, this is where there was this packed house. If you looked at the verse before, you say, the house is packed. And the verses after this is, there was a man that they brought on a stretcher trying to get in to get him prayed for. They ended up having to take some of the roof off the house and let the man down in the stretcher. And then Jesus talked to him, forgave him of his sins, and healed him. Now here's, you know, that part is exciting because he was healed. He was set free. He was delivered. But I want you to notice something. The house was packed. And as far as we know, he is the only one that was healed, even though the power of God was present to heal. When we are in a place where we are needing healing and the power of God is present, don't shut it off by doubt and unbelief and fear, and I've heard this all before, and I've tried it before and it doesn't work, and all these things that the evil one could try to come up with. We don't want to be like the scribes and Pharisees that were there evaluating. Is he doing everything right? Whoa, we missed that one. Right? No man has the power to forgive sins except for God. He didn't get that. So they completely missed what God was doing in that place. Jesus, as his habit, was going around and preaching the kingdom of heaven, and the response was then people were getting healed. The speaking, the release of the anointing of God, and the result, people being healed. Number six, the anointing, that is the living water that is within us, flows out of us. John 7:37-39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And he said this about the Spirit, about the Holy Spirit. So in us is the power of God, the anointing of God. The Holy Spirit is living in us. And by the words of our mouth, that anointing is released to bring healing or whatever it is you need in your life to you personally, to your loved ones, to those that you're ministering to. Example there, it was at the Believer's Miracle Service. A woman came up who was challenged with sight in her, I think it was her left eye. And I anointed her with oil, commanded her eye to see, and when she woke up the next day, she could see out of that eye. The anointing of God was released. The rivers of living water. We all have that. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. We need to know who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. Amen. Wow. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Number seven, using the sword of the Spirit in warfare. Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is part of the armor that we have in Christ. And so we take up the sword of the Spirit. It is our only offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. From Revelation 1:16, "And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword." We wield the Word of God as a sword, not in our hands, but we wield it in our mouth. We speak it out of our mouth. And it is a weapon that cuts down the attack of the evil one. There's a woman that was challenged with gallstones. She affirmed that she had been healed by the stripes of Jesus thousands of times, and all the pain and the discomfort left. We need to learn to be a expert, a master swordsman. A master swordsman. You know how a master swordsman trains to become a master swordsman? 2 or 3 hours a day of practice. The first 2 years, all they learn are the basics. How to block this shot, how to block that shot, how to block that shot, how to block this shot, how to thrust, all the different things, all the basics. For 2 years, 2 or 3 hours a day, practicing the basics. Then for another 2 years, they learn the techniques, the specific techniques. So they spend 2 years learning techniques. They've already learned the basics. Now they're learning specific techniques. Then the last year, for 1 year, they then learn how to integrate the techniques and the basics so that then they are a master swordsman. So no matter what approach the other party takes, they know how to respond. I remember the movie Princess Bride. And when the two guys were sword fighting, he says, "Oh, you're using Pirelli's defense on me. Well, I'm going to switch to this." And, you know, so they're talking about this. So no matter how somebody, how the evil one comes at you, we know how to respond because we become expert swordsmen. So we know how to speak the right word to drive the devil away, the right word to conquer him. It might be casting down imaginations. Maybe that's the word that needs to come out of your mouth because you're being attacked in your mind. Maybe it needs to be, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, or God has supplied all my needs. Whatever it is, learn how to use your sword in an expert manner. See, number 8, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's living, it's active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. So we use that sword of the Spirit. Now notice it's two-edged, which means it cuts this way and it cuts that way. So you just keep speaking the word of God to the circumstances. It can be used for moving inanimate objects, such as mountains. In other words, obstacles in our life. Mark 11:23 is a great example of that. "Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says." Notice he's saying, he's speaking to the mountain. It's also the word of God, and using that word of God as a sword is like a scalpel. It can be precise. You don't use a scalpel to attack an enemy that's got a sword, but you use the scalpel to do the precision work that may need to be done. Mark 11:13-14, this is the precursor to the story that ended in Mark 11:23. "And seeing in the distance," talking about Jesus, "a fig tree covered with leaves, he went to see if he could find any fruit on it. For in the fig tree, the fruit appears at the same time as the leaves. But when he came up onto it, he found nothing but leaves, for the fig season had not yet come. And he said to it, 'No one ever shall eat fruit from you again.' And his disciples were listening to what he said." So not only can we deal with and move inanimate objects, we can curse animate objects. Going on to the end of the story there in Mark 11. "And Peter," so this was the next day. Remember, he cursed the fig tree. They went on into Jerusalem. Turned a couple of tables over and whipped some guys that were making a spectacle of God's house. You know, just a kind of a normal day at the office. And then they went back to Bethany that night. And then the next morning, now they're going back into Jerusalem, see if there's any more tables to turn over, I guess. And as they were going by the fig tree, this is where it picks up here in verse 21. "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith to him, 'Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away.'" So here we're seeing the preciseness. He cursed this tree. So we can do the same thing with animate objects in our lives. It might be a tumor, a growth on our bodies. It might be cancer. These kind of things we can curse, and we've seen that happen. A woman with challenges of cancer in five places in her body cursed the cancer and then affirmed her healing 1,000 times a day, and within a year, all the cancer was gone. So we can curse cancer, curse germs and diseases and viruses. When you get the symptoms that, like a cold or a flu coming upon you, don't just sit there and say, oh, what am I going to do? Should I call the doctor? Should I, go to the store and get some NyQuil? What do I, No. Now's the time. Curse the virus. Curse the bacteria that is behind it, the germs, the microorganisms. And we have an affirmation, I think we've given it to you, that talks about that. Number 10. Again, we're talking about using the sword of the Spirit in warfare. It can also be used like a battering ram. We know Pastora Sarah, when she taught on affirmations, did a real good example of that telephone pole type thing. Bang, 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 battering the obstacle. That's like what the Word of God is. Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" And there was a man who was hired, a young man, on a construction site. And so the guys gave him a 50-pound sledgehammer and told him to go break up some concrete. So he's, taking that sledgehammer, and he was, oh my gosh, he was going at it, first day on the job, young man, ambitious. So his first day on the job, boy, he's going to make an impact, right? So he's taking that old sledgehammer, and he is using all his might. Kaboom! Didn't do a thing. Does it again. Kaboom! Didn't do a thing. And he's getting worn out. I mean, just two or three, four times of doing it with all his might, he was getting worn out. So one of the guys took pity on him, went over there and said, "Hey, see, this is a 50-pound sledge. It's hefty enough as it is." He says, "You don't need to swing it with all your might. Just bring it up over your head and let it drop. Guide it, but let it drop." He said, "Just keep doing it. It'll crack." And that's exactly what the word is. As we use the word, it seems as we're using it that nothing's happening. But we don't understand that there are micro cracks that are taking place as we are hitting the object, the situation in our life with the word of God, until finally we see it crack. And now it can be removed out of the way. So it's a battery. It's like a rock. Now let's look at 2 Samuel 23:9 through 10. One of my favorite characters in the Bible. I think between him and Caleb, of course, not to mention Jesus and Joshua and Peter and John. Oh boy. Yeah, and Matthew. Anyway, he's one of my favorite characters. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they had defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to retrieve the spoil. So don't exactly know what happened. I don't think it was that they ran in fear. I think they left because they were getting some R&R. They weren't expecting an attack from the Philistines, so they took off, but Eleazar stayed there. And all of a sudden, he's got this group of Philistines ready to attack. So he takes up his sword and he slays them all. But notice what it says, that he was doing it until his hand was weary, until his fingers clave to the handle of the sword. I don't know if you've ever done something, worked on something, whether it be using a hammer or a saw or a shovel or a pick or something like that, where you've just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. And then when it's time to let go, it's like your fingers don't want to respond. It's clave to that handle. So this is what happened with Eleazar, because he was using the sword over and over again. Whatever it took, he didn't just do two or three swings. Say, okay, I've done my 25 affirmations. That's enough. I've done 100 affirmations. That's enough. The enemy's still there. He's still attacking. But I think that's all I'm going to do today. No, Eleazar kept at it. Kept at it. Kept at it. Kept at it. Thousands, thousands, thousands of swings until he won the battle. That's the way we need to be with affirmations. You know, so only a couple of years ago that I sat down and calculated, back years ago when I had that challenge with my heart, calculated how many affirmations that I had done over that period of time. I was amazed because it came in just under 500,000. It's like, whoa, I had no idea it was that many. But I tell you what, I kept swinging until I won. I kept speaking the word until I won. Number 11, speaking what you desire into existence. This means choosing to live by spiritual laws and not by the physical reality of what you see, right? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death." See, we can see the law of sin and death, but we may not see the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus until the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus overwhelms the law of sin and death. And now, instead of sin leading to death, sickness and disease and death, now the Spirit of God brings life to that situation. So we are speaking what we desire. We desire to see certain things. See, don't speak what you have. Don't talk about what's going on. Talk about what you are expecting. Talk about what's going to happen. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Somebody asks you, how are you doing? Well, I'm believing that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Speak what you want, not what you have. Walter, sitting back here, confronted by symptoms of a stroke, chose to walk by faith in the Word of God and recovered within hours. Amen. And he's had more incidences like that in his life since then, dealing with other things. But he is alive and well and here. Amen, Walter. Thank you, Jesus. And soon, next this coming week, to be turning 93. Amen. Don't let it scare you, Walter. Okay, let's go on to number 12. Evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So our faith tells us that we have what has been promised to us, even though we don't see it. It's a substance of the things that are hoped for, that confident expectation. Remember, it's not just, oh, yeah, I hope it works that way. No, it is a confident expectation that what God has said will happen. So we stake our faith in that. And therefore, we know, our faith tells us that even though we don't see it, it is ours. And that faith, which exemplifies or shows itself is in our actions and our words. So we are speaking then the Word of God. Our faith causes us to speak. There was a man with a broken ankle after falling in the middle of the woods. He was out hiking. He was going down the side of this hill. His foot got caught in a root, and he heard the snap, felt the pain. It was in winter. It was snow on the ground. He was 8 miles from home, and he had a choice. I'm going to sit here and die? He said, nope, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. He jumped up on his feet and ran the 8 miles home. And by the time he got home, there was no evidence other than minor pain that lasted a couple of days. Healed by the stripes of Jesus, because he didn't believe what he saw, he believed what he knew. Now, when it comes to affirmations, let me give you a couple of things that will be helpful. For one thing, when you're using affirmations, do not speak the challenge. Don't say, my high blood pressure has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Right? We don't speak what we have. We speak what we want. My blood pressure is normal by the stripes of Jesus. So that is really important. And the simpler, another thing, the simpler the better. Let's say you're dealing with 5 different challenges in your life. Now, it's easy to want to say, well, let me just put it all in one affirmation, then I can get it all over at the same time. Right? Not a good idea. It gets confusing. It's not focused. But if you've got a challenge with an ankle, then my ankle has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Not my ankle and my eye and my ear and my stomach and my left thumb have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's better to focus on each one separately than to try to put them all together. So don't speak the challenge. Don't affirm, don't use the challenge in your affirmation. Use the part of the body that may be affected or whatever, but not the symptom or the diagnosis. Number 13, calling those things that be not as though they were, from Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things that be not as though they were. So again, this goes back. We're calling those things that be not. We're calling the things, we're not talking the things that are. We're talking the things that we want to see happen. In this case, God was calling Abram, changed his name to Abraham, was calling him a father of many nations, even though he had no heir at that particular time. A class of ABC Healing School Semester 3 raised a man from the dead. He had collapsed during the class. And so that was declaring those things that be not. It was an exciting day when we had that opportunity. Number 14, using the unseen to change that which is seen. While we look not at things which are seen, this is 2 Corinthians 4:18, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. Temporal means they're subject to change. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So we know what Jesus has done for us, that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, that he has provided all of our needs. That is available to us in the spiritual. We may not see it, but we call those things, or we call the unseen, which we don't see at the moment, to overtake and to change the temporal scene into what we desire it to be. A man using affirmations and confessing sins was healed from terminal blood disease. Amen, because he was affirming the word and not accepting what was seen. Number 15, using things that are not to change that which is, from 1 Corinthians 1:28. And base things of the world and the things which are despised God chose, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught, N-O-U-G-H-T, the things that are. A pastor spoke the word to a man's broken arm, and the doctors were unable to find the break. Now that break had already been confirmed. The x-rays had already been taken. The cast had already been put on the man's arm. And when he spoke to that broken arm, just a few days after the incident had happened, he told the man, go back to the doctor and get another x-ray. And sure enough, he went back to the doctor, they x-rayed it, and there was no sign that it of that break or that it had even been broken. Number 16, our words release the creative power in God's word. Just as God did when he said in Genesis 10 times, and God said, and it was. God said, let there be light, and light was. So we have been created in him in the image of God with life in our tongue, right? We have life and death, or death and life are in the power of the tongue. So therefore, we need to learn to speak God's word. It releases creative power. Number 17, the power of God's word unto salvation. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So, the gospel, the good news. Now remember, it's not just the good news of salvation, of salvation to go to heaven. It's the good news of the salvation package, of everything that Jesus has provided for us. So, the gospel, when we speak the gospel, when we share the gospel, within that, or in that process, the power of God, the anointing of God, is released, even as it was with God when he spoke his word and it happens. All things, number 18, all things are upheld by the word of his power. I just noticed I didn't do the testimony there. This is a really good testimony. A man, having had part of his brain removed, had full normal function because he was standing on the word of God, believing it, speaking it, and acting on it. He had been diagnosed with a brain tumor, and they suggested surgery. And so he was already, before the surgery, he couldn't see, and because it was affecting that part of his brain, it was also affecting his speech. So when they cut it out, they told his wife, he won't see and he won't be able to speak because we took out those parts of his brain because the tumor was interacting with them. So they took it out, but boy, she wasn't accepting it. And neither was he. He knew that that was the diagnosis of this thing. And they were standing on the Word of God. And when he woke up after surgery, he looked at his wife and he spoke. And an incredible man of God. When I met him, it's just like, wow, this guy is really something. He knows the word, and it's a walking miracle. Number 18, all things are upheld by the word of his power. Hebrews 1:3. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, upholding all things by the word of his power. So his word has power. So as we speak his word, power is released. An 80-year-old man fell off of a roof, resulting in 3 vertebrae fractures. He landed flat on his back on concrete. Three vertebrae fractures in his back, as shown by x-rays. After prayer and affirmations, the fractures could not be found in new x-rays. And I know that man because he was my father. And a month later, after this happened, he was on the East Coast participating in his grandson's wedding. So it was amazing how God worked all that and the healing that took place in his body. Number 19, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. The name of Jesus is got power. When we speak the name of Jesus, he has given us the power of attorney with his name. When we speak his name, it makes a difference. A woman was aggressively approached by a man, and it appears he intended some harm. And when she used the name of Jesus, he fell backwards onto the ground, and then he fled. Using the name of Jesus. There was a woman that was diagnosed with a tumor that was behind her lungs and kind of tucked next to her heart. And when they discovered it, they determined that it was inoperable. So Pastor Joshua began to work with her and had her doing affirmations concerning her lungs and her heart, had cursed the cancer, and she was given instruction to do 600 affirmations a day concerning her heart and her lung being healed. Well, in about a month's time, she was instructed to go back to the doctor. And when she went back to the doctor and they looked again, they were amazed. The tumor was still there, but now it was in a position where it could be operated on. And so they went in and they did a successful operation. She spoke the word of God 600 times daily over her healing, and she received it. Amen. Number 20, allowing Jesus to act as the high priest. Hebrews 3, 1 and 4, 14. Wherefore, my holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, another way of translating high priest would be an administrator. Remember, a high priest is a go-between. And so, in this case, as we're professing God's word, as we're confessing, as we're doing affirmations, part of his job is to administrate that, to make sure it happens. He's the high priest, the administrator of our profession, of our affirmation. So we speak, and he does the work. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, our confession of faith. Let us hold it fast, because we know that we have that high priest that's administrating our words of faith. Then we can hold fast to our confession. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when there is a need, when a challenge has attacked our lives, we take that sword of the Spirit, we use the Word of God, and we go after that, speaking the Word of God, knowing that the anointing of God will be released, knowing that the power of God in our spoken word will be released. So as we come to that throne of grace, the promise is that He will hear, and the anointing of God that is in us, the power of God in us then is released, because Jesus has already done it. We're not waiting for God to move on our behalf. He's already moved. He sent Jesus. So we're expecting then the anointing of God to flow from our lives, to flow from our spirit, and to effect the change that we desire. While I was standing in faith for a new heart, there was one day when I was overcome with great pain while driving to work. It kept getting worse and worse. I thought I might have to stop. But then I remembered a verse. He who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I just said out loud, Jesus, I need some help here. And immediately, just like somebody had taken a thermostat, it went from a 10 to about a 1. Zoom! It's like, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Speak the Word of God. Use the affirmations that you've been given. Use the affirmations that God gives you. Speak His Word, and you will see the effect of it. Remember what the theme of semester one is. Healing comes when you speak the Word of God. Amen. Now, that may be on your final. Okay, one last thing there on the last page of your packet is the affirmation log. One of the things that we mentioned it when we talked about affirmations in general, the instruction was the importance of keeping track of how many affirmations you're doing. Well, this is a sheet that can help you to do that, that I put together, where you can write in the affirmation the date and the quantity. There's room here for 4. If you need more, you can print them off of the website under the outline for today, or when this was taught, module 19 was taught previously. So you can find those there if you want to print more copies, or obviously make copies of these, however you want to do that. But use that. It's really important. We had one woman that used that diligently. She didn't have this sheet, but she had a notebook. And every day she would put in there what affirmation she did and how many she did. So at any time you could ask her, hey, Louise, how many affirmations did you do today? Well, I did, 50 of this, and I did 100 of that, and, I have the mind of Christ, and, all the different affirmations that that she was using. So anyway, this can be a help to you. The one weekend while I was being challenged, this was with the heart thing years ago, we had this already, and so I used this, actually. In one weekend, I took the whole weekend off, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the whole weekend, I did nothing but affirmations. Fasted and did affirmations. I didn't read the Word. I didn't particularly pray. I just did affirmations. And so I was able to fit on here 47,000 affirmations that I did that weekend on, 4, 5, 6 different affirmations that I was doing. So use this. It's good. All right. God bless you. Amen.